What do you get when you have two microphones, a bottle of bourbon, and plenty of time to kill? It's the Bourbon Talking Podcast with Billy and Jimmy. Glad you found us. Sit back, relax. Let's see what we get into.
Yeah, man, we're always live, brother. We're always live.
Oh, crap, I hear you.
Hey, yeah. We are. What is shagalagin, baby? Welcome to It's the Bourbon Talking Podcast. I think we're episode 56.
No sh.
Yeah. We are not live.
We're not live, but we are pre-recorded.
We are pre-recorded due to, let's see, you know, profanities and mess ups, and we're also on a delay.
Like a week.
Yeah. On a week delay.
A week delay.
All right, brother.
That Jimmy is wrong so many ways.
So as everybody out there in Bourbon Land knows, we live in the Sunshine State, the capital of freedom, the great state of Florida.
Oh, yes.
And we live in arguably the oldest town in Florida. We're always in a fist fight with this place called St. Augustine. But St. Augustine does have one thing. They have the St. Augustine Distillery. And so we are going to be trying out their Florida straight bourbon today. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
I think we try to bring stuff to and rate it. Now, I will say we've been to the distillery several times. We've actually had this bourbon. But we're going to actually give it a rating today and have it on a podcast and give it an honest review compared to all the other bourbons we've had. And by the way, my name is Jimmy and this is Billy. And we appreciate you guys joining the podcast, man. But we're going to rate this bourbon. Again, we've had it a few times and we're just going to give you our honest view. We want to kind of give a little credit out to St. Augustine, you know, distillery too. I mean, we haven't had them on here yet, so it's nice to bring something local since our local distillery hasn't reached out to us. Shame on you.
Won't mention any names, but anyway.
I really want to.
We'll get around there. We'll breach the doors. We'll get around to that. But
I am cracking a seal.
You know, you can't make bourbon unless you're in Kentucky. So we're going to give a shot and see how Florida does it.
You know, you
there, free that thing. Let it out. Let it out.
Again, we've learned you don't have to let it breathe.
Right. Grip and rip.
And again, so you've seen the last podcast we had Rob on and kind of given us a lot of great tips. I mean, he seems to be a
smell that. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? And it ain't alcohol.
I don't think I can say it. I can't say
Is it peanut butter?
No, I would go in the wrong direction.
Does it start with a P? I'm sorry.
This is a family-friendly show. What are you talking about?
I don't know, man. I smelled that cork, and I was like, what is that? Hang on, let me smell the bourbon.
And, you know, and since our last podcast with Rob, Billy has gone to the neat side of the fence. I'm still on ice. Billy has gone to the neat.
Yeah, man, I'm just... Rob opened my eyes, and I think I've been ruining my bourbon, and it's a completely different experience when it's not watered down. I've already had one today, so.
You had the one named after the chicken?
The old Colonel's. What was it?
Colonel Taylor, not Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, I was going with Colonel Taylor. I think we had that on the last podcast, and so I had a
before Rob.
I've got this, man. I've had one cavity my whole life. I've never had a toothache, and I got this thing going on, and the bourbon sure does help a toothache.
Yeah.
You do got to hold it in your mouth for a minute. You can't just guzzle it down. Then it just helps with everything.
And the wife's got a bar full of food, and he went straight to the sweet section.
Well, Laura makes
toothache here.
Laura makes this stuff that you dip fruit in that I always thought was like some Cool Whip thing. It's not cool. It's actually cheese, and it's sweet. You would never know it has cheese in it unless someone told you. It has like a lot of cheese. It's like that's its primary ingredient, cheese, and I never knew that. I'd already been eating it for like 4 years. She's like, yeah, it's made out of cheese. I'm like, no, is it really? I had no idea. Anyway, that's just delicious.
All right, sir. Here we go. All right,
we're going in. St. Augustine Distillery. All right, here we go. That's different.
Mm-hmm. And stick around to the end, and we will try to rate this thing. Again, we're not the pros like Rob was. But I will say it's got flavor, and I really like the flavor of this. Yes.
It's like feather smooth. Wait, the feather's not smooth. It's just light. It's feather smooth.
Remember he said he already had one. It's right. Feather smooth.
Feathers. This good stuff. Hang
on. Oh, gosh. And bear with us. This was kind of a last-minute podcast.
It's got an exotic odor to it. Like when you,
I wouldn't go with exotic.
You do. Smell that. That doesn't smell like your typical bourbon. Just put your nose in it. Just smell it. Don't be drinking my bourbon. That's mine. Smell it. That doesn't smell like a bourbon we've had. That's got something in it, and my brain can't click and tell me what it is, and they don't have their secret sauce printed on the bottle. Or do they? If they do, it's in such fine print, I can't read it.
So when we start our distillery, are we just going to call it Fernandina? Amelia Island? That's okay. What are we calling it?
Chester Swill.
And it got a screw cap.
Yeah. A rusty steel top to it. Been buried underground, hiding from ATF. Okay, that's just a warning label. That's not a... All right.
That was tell me every, of your, yeah, under tell, the age of 21.
Tell me everything not to do. All right.
No, I'm not going to lie. I mean, yeah, it's... We'll rate it at the end, but it's always been a good bourbon. We've always had it, and... It's the first time we've actually had it on the podcast.
I could pick that out of a lineup mm-hmm. of 20 bourbons.
Yep, I agree with that. And it's
oddly has a Florida flair to it. I can't tell you if they brewed it with palmetto fronds or something.
It tastes like sunshine.
It
tastes like
it's, and it's not really booming or nothing, but it's just.
There's nothing overwhelms you. It's smooth.
It's different. It's smooth. Yeah. And it's not like a Kentucky bourbon.
No, like some bourbons that are like overwhelm you. And I guess it depends on the proof. What is the proof on this one?
88.
So, yeah, it's a little smoother. It's not as, you know, potent.
Yeah. And it's not like this bouquet of flowers got dumped in your mouth or you're chewing in the yard or nothing. It's just got this hint of something. I can't tell you what it is, man.
Oh, God.
I would think like citrus or orange or something.
My first bourbon, but it's not a bouquet of flowers. Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, sweetheart, our anniversary is here, and I got you couple of bourbons.
Right. Yeah, I guess you got your bouquet.
Got your bouquet of bourbons.
Yeah, what is that?
No, I don't have a drinking problem.
Right.
I got a flower problem.
All right, man. Let's dig in here and see what we got.
Gosh.
Going on
it's today. Been a mess. I mean, this week's been a dumpster fire with all the crap going on with just in politics in general.
Yeah. They say never apologize to your audience for not making a video because they'll not know that you hadn't put one out in a week. But we apologize. It's been a little while.
Hey, we're honest. You know,
that's right. Transparency. Let me be clear.
We got busy.
Right. Don't you hate it when a politician starts out every sentence? Let me be clear.
I am full of shit.
It's almost as bad as let me be honest with you. Why? You've been lying to me for the last 4 hours? Like, you're going to start being honest now?
You've been lying since I elected
you. So
your
what was
ass?
Everything else you said? Well, anyway, I just hate that. Let me be. Oh, and you have to do they teach you this in political school? You have to make a fist. Now, everybody watch how I do this. And you roll your fingers in, and you put your thumb just up like this. This is a politician's watch every politician gets on TV. Let me be clear. What is this? What are you holding in your hand that's not there? You know, well, did they tell you not to do a knife edge and just to fold it up?
Well, make that, it more I can see that would be is that what it was? That would be offensive.
Maybe that's where it came from. But if you look at like White House press secretaries, Trump's real big with it. Biden, I mean, it's like Kamala Harris. Just keep a lookout for that and tell me if you don't start noticing.
I mean, is that like poking her eye out?
No, you can't point a finger at somebody.
No, I mean, we can't do knife edge.
You can't even send a millennial a text with a thumbs up. No shit. That is abrasive. Oh. That is overpowering. And oh, yeah, yeah. You haven't heard about the
no.
So the emoji.
Educate me, please, Billy.
The emojis that you and I send will send a millennial through the roof with a triggered flag.
I'm glad I know this now.
You have to
guess what you're
very,
getting, millennial.
You have to be very careful with the emojis that you give to people.
What about the sphincter?
Jimmy, you can't put that on.
Oh.
That's the...
Sorry.
That stands for white power and...
The sphincter?
That's the OK sign.
Oh. That just meant you're an asshole.
No.
Oh.
This is the, hey, made you look. You ever seen it? Yeah. It's not an offensive thing. It's a, hey, made you look. And if you could make your friend look, you got to slap them in the face. That's where that came from, people. It's not some dumb, but the OK sign, that's out. That's been out since 2021. That is highly offensive. Matter of fact, I got to blur that out. I can't even have that on YouTube.
Was it like the COVID sign? What?
No, it's a white power KKK symbol. Trust me, it's not.
Somebody needs to put out
okay. See, O and a K. It's a representation of the word okay.
Well, I always said
not white power.
This is you're an asshole.
Yeah. Never knew that, but now I'm pissed that every time you've told me okay in the last 8 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You were calling me an asshole.
Dude, I'm not saying something on an emoji that I've never said to your face.
Okay. Yeah, man, this is a learning episode here.
I mean, well, hey, a millennial needs to put out a rule book on what's offensive enough.
It's too thick. And it's got a bunch of abbreviations in it that you can't understand.
All kinds of acronyms. Like, right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It was like, yeah, well, is it IK... UK, whatever. If you know, you know. I'm like, I had to look at that. I'm like, what the?
IYK.
Yeah, whatever. UK, like, yeah. What? And I'm sitting here, I'm like going through the app trying to figure, oh, I got to know.
I'll be honest, I didn't have to ask, but I didn't learn what that was until about 2 years ago.
Yeah. I'm like,
if you know, you know.
Yeah, it's like. Well, I don't, or I wouldn't be asking.
Right. What is
that's why you don't,
That's
why you don't put two old guys on a podcast. Because we don't know.
Sometimes it's just good to spell out what you're trying to say. That way nobody gets confused. You already get misrepresented in texts and emails anyway. I tell my friend Jimmy that all the time. He goes to fire off a heated email or to... Hey, let's make a phone call. We've gone back and forth a couple of times with emails, and obviously it's heading to the dumpster fire at a high rate of speed. So let's be able to listen to the other person's inflection in their language.
Well, now I've always said that in the beginning. You know, I told you it's like, you know, you can't take texts and emails to heart because
you
just don't know the frame of mind of what they were trying to. The message you're trying to get, and I've always said that.
Because I'm a natural smartass.
Yeah. Right?
And I always try to find the funny. And so if my text, you may be in a completely different mind space than me. And when you send something to me that's serious and at heart, I immediately shoot it off as lighthearted and come back. And now you're angry. If we would have been face to face, that would have never happened. You would have completely understood by my facial expressions, my inflection in my voice of where I was coming from. But you read the text and you went, that son of a bitch.
Well, that happened recently to me. And it's right, like, I was making a funny and it's like,
right.
Oh shit, I offended him. Really?
Right. And I wonder if that's where the definition of the keyboard warrior came from, you know, because,
makes sense.
You know, we're just all misunderstood in your mom's basement with Cheeto dust on your stomach, you know, putting out your freaking opinion about everything.
No, we're not in a basement. No. Are we in a basement?
We left mom's basement like 6 months ago.
Oh, man. It's, again, if we could just, can you send me the cliff notes, you know, the cliff notes, millennial for dummies or dummies for, I don't know what you want to call it, but give me an abbreviated version of what offends you. Well, I can't say that because everything
does. I'm not going to talk bad about millennials. They're you know, our kids.
My kids. They're Come my on. Kids. And it's like,
I'm rooting for you. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm on your team. I want to see you highly successful.
But you got to get up and get a job.
you gotta toughen up.
You gotta toughen up. Man. Yeah, a little other.
The world is an unfair, cruel place,
and everything should not be offensive.
No,
I mean, everything is not a joke. Equal.
There's no participation trophies out here.
No, there's no participation. No,
you'll find out.
It's a real world out there.
In your career, you have to grind. You have to make yourself stand out.
No, you have to make yourself relevant.
Yes.
I mean, the problem with millennials is, I got to get up and walk to the printer to get that paper off.
First,
you got to come to the office. You can't work from home forever.
Right. And you don't deserve the promotion because you've been here a week.
It's not a participation trophy. We started that.
You called out on your second day on the job, you know.
Well, it's like, I can't wear shorts and Hey Dudes to work.
And I've never been allowed to take a mental health day. It's a suck it up, buttercup, and go earn a living. You know, I'm always mentally ill. If you heard what went on in between these two ears, you'd commit me in a second.
Oh, my God. I can just see. I'm highly offended at the last meeting. I'm going to take the rest of the day off and go home.
Lord, I can hear us getting bashed in the emails already. Yes, mental illness is an actual I understand.
Yes.
But there's a lot of completely sane people out there. And when I hear the words mental health, it's a new term. We just started talking.
Mental health is a serious issue, and I will not take anything away from it. We have veterans with some serious mental health, and our government doesn't want to take care of them. They would rather spend the money on illegals.
And I see too many people without mental health problems claiming my mental health is very important.
I'm offended and I got mental health issues.
Yeah, no.
You're 18.
Yeah, you're not seeing boogeyman in the trees and swapping lanes when you go underneath the overpass because you think you're about to get hit with a grenade.
I mean, you weren't in a zone where your buddy was just killed or you're having to carry your buddy who's bleeding to a medic. I mean, you're not having nightmares of PTSD or, you know, something horrific. Somebody took your Cheerios out of the break room. That is not a mental health issue.
You got sat in timeout too many times.
Yes.
Didn't get your damn way.
So, but again, mental health is a serious issue, and I think the federal government should do more for it.
I didn't mean to make light of that.
We're not trying to make light of it but again, exist. Somebody steals your Cheerios out of the break room is not a mental health day. I'm sorry.
That's right. Get back to work.
Anyways, enough of that, because I've already figured 15 lawsuits are being typed up.
Oops. That's why we're...
Again, it's the bourbon talking, people. It's not that we're bourbon aficionados. We drink and we say what's on our mind.
Just keep in mind, and you're seeing the part that made it through the delay.
And if I offended if I offended any 18-year-olds, I got something for you, asshole.
And guess what? Everything's offensive. Everything's offensive to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to offend me. You know where I get offended? I get offended because somebody else is offended.
That offends me. It does offend me. I'm offended you're offended by what I just said.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really trying to offend you, but you're so damn offensible that offends me.
Yeah, exactly.
Did I say that right? I said that pretty good.
I think that was actually pretty good.
And, that was first take, too, by the way.
I'm going to have to listen to this podcast, and I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. I'm offended because people are offended. Yeah, right. It's like,
stop being so easily offensible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Toughen up, buttercup. Oh, my God. I mean, holy crap. This damn podcast is about nothing, man. I think it's going to be one of our best ones.
Exactly. And don't get upset by rumors that, do you know what so-and-so said about you?
Who cares?
Who cares? You should just nonchalantly answer, wow.
You know what the problem?
I'm surprised there was so much more they could have said walk off.
Yeah, exactly. If they really knew the truth, I wouldn't be offended.
But jeez, that's all they had? There's so much more. Exactly. And just walk away. And that shuts all that shit down.
You know, and go out and meet real people instead of using your phone to talk on social media.
Dude.
Get out and meet real people. Be offended in person. God. Don't be offended over text or social media or whatever. I mean, and
now,
just because somebody,
your new AI buddy,
and just because somebody doesn't like your post,
great,
is not a mental health day.
You know what? It all comes down to the complaint box that's on the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
The complaint box or the suggestion box.
Suggestion box. I was going to say the idea box, suggestion box. Yes.
What is in there? Bad shit, right? If you have 100 complaints, three of them are compliments in your complaint box, right?
And one of them may be a great idea to how to change things.
So you have your ideas or your job performance, or you have 100 people that are overly satisfied with you, think you're doing an exceptional job. That one you listen to. It's just the one. It's the 0.01% I'm always talking to. And that noise is at volume 10. When you're not listening, you're not seeing all the gratitude or the because people that are satisfied, one, don't complain because they're satisfied. And sometimes they don't take the time out to tell you you've done an exceptional job.
Well,
but that one person, they will damn sure tell you if you walked wrong, if you took a bad breath.
That goes to in the job world or just in your charitable organization, whatever. Anyway, you could do 100 perfect things. You do that one bad thing, that one oh shit, and that carries on. It overshadows the 100 great things you've done, but people always zero in on that one shit.
Sure.
Oh, you screwed up.
My dad always said, one all shit will wipe away all the attaboys.
Yes, you know? It does.
And you're letting yourself do that because you don't know how to take criticism. Most of the time, they're right. You got to step outside of the box and take a look. Sometimes they're just barking freaking noise. And you don't need to put any of your mental energy towards that.
And I'll be honest with you, if you got 100 attaboys and your boss or significant other says, you screwed up this one time. Look, just go, oops, don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Just move on. Yeah, it's like, on. I got 99 other attaboys to make up. So. That's right. I'm good, you know. Don't dwell on the one oh shit unless it's major, like murder. You know, don't murder anybody. Right. But again, if you've got 100 attaboys and you got one oh shit that really wasn't that bad, just say oops and move on. Don't dwell on it. It should not be an issue. Just suck it up and it's like, okay, I screwed up.
There's an
own
art
it and move on.
There's an art to accepting criticism. It's tough, you know. I've never been the kind of person that needs a lot of pat on the backs or a good job or whatever. Maybe that's the military upbringing in me or whatever, but a lot of people need that. Like if you did one damn thing right, you know, the attaboy, the good job, you did a great job. Thank you so much. That's called a paycheck.
Yeah, you know, and here's
and when you're failing at those minor tasks where you think that you constantly need a pat on the back, that's when you should stop getting the paycheck and get fired. That's what.
Yeah,
you know, so don't always be looking for a you know.
So I did a huge contract when I was at IBM, eight digits, and after that I rolled the dice. I tried to do something, try to be creative, and it didn't work out so well. And my supervisor called me and it's like, "Hey, you screwed up." Da da da. And he kind of went on and on and on. Hey, this is what happened. I'm like, oh, that's it? I thought I did something serious. I mean, I rolled the dice. It didn't work out. I'm sorry, you know. Hey, yeah. But you don't forget, I just brought in a multi-billion-dollar deal. So, hey, I rolled the dice on this one. It paid off on the last one. It didn't work. I thought I was in trouble. He goes, well, you can't do that again.
Yeah.
But I am who I am. I didn't dwell on it, and guess what? I left that company.
Your bosses and your corporate higher-ups, they've just – the way it is it's not what you've done. It's what you've done for me lately.
Yes.
And it's just, it's the mindset that they have to be in a successful level of a company. They're not out. They can't spend their day running around patting you on the back, but they have to let you know when you F up and drop the ball, just take it.
Move on.
Corrective criticism. Again,
just use short it as, of murder. I mean,
yeah, use it as armor.
Everything else is survivable. Yep,
we all make mistakes. And my favorite quote is, well, I won't make that one again.
Exactly. No,
I'm guaranteed to screw up.
You know what? If I made that same one twice and my boss, yeah, right. Okay, I'm going to take that ass chewing because right. I did
got your
twice.
Boss. You know what? Hindsight 2020, man. I thought I was doing the right thing. That did not work out. I agree with you, and I won't make that mistake again. Can't guarantee you I won't
come screw close.
Up as soon as I leave this office. I may screw something up. No,
exactly.
Right, but I won't make that one again.
No, and again, don't dwell on it. And that's where people, yeah. I mean, I think that's where the generation today, they just get hung up on it. You know, and right. You know what, and not just the workers, but I think the supervisors get hung up on it too. It's like, let it go. You chewed their ass, move on, and again, unless they come back and did the exact same thing twice and it backfired, yeah, then you got to have that more serious conversation. But supervisors don't let it go either, you know. Bosses don't let it go. Significant others don't let it go, you know. It's again, it becomes repetitive. Yeah, I get it. Okay, yeah, I got to change my ways. Yeah. I got to do things a little differently.
You'll learn to accept criticism easier and better when you learn to just – first off, own up to your mistakes.
Yep.
Don't try to.
Oh, don't hide it. Don't hide lie about it.
Deflect it. Lie about it. It's going to come out.
Yeah. Just own it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Nobody wants to take ownership anymore.
Man, when somebody walks into my office, go, man, I really just screwed up. We need to, send out the fire team to fix this. Here's where it went wrong. Here's the path I was trying to go, and here's where it backfired.
And normally, you know you screwed up.
You know where you messed up.
You need to bring it to the boss's attention before he brings it to yours.
Right. You want to be the first one to bring it. Hey, here's how I messed up, and here's my solution to fix my fuck up.
Yeah, it won't happen again.
Right.
Sorry about that.
So have a fix for your faults here.
No, that's some good stuff. And, wow, it's a...
Well, this
how in the world did we get into a non-political conversation?
Man,
it's two in a row.
I'm spitting logic. Yeah, this juice here. What's going on?
Man, we got to write a book on this. Man, I really want to push this movie idea that I got. Holy crap. Any producers, I got a great idea. Just email It's the Bourbon Talking. I got this.
It's a banger.
It will knock your socks off. I'm telling
4.5 stars on IMDb. Okay.
Every actor in it is going to win an Academy Award. I'm telling you, this thing's perfect. Just reach out. It's Bourbon Talking.
Have you thought about the actors? Have you thought about the cast?
I actually kind of got a few in my head. Yeah, I do.
If someone was going to do the
main character,
the life and story of Jim Doberly, who would play you?
Oh, they're all dead.
That's okay. Yeah, living or dead. We'll go with that.
No. It's
go ahead.
I don't know. I really don't. I mean. And the reason I say that is because so many of the actors today are woke. And I lose every time I
can. Let's go strictly on resemblance. Who would play
you? Oh, no.
Yeah. Who would play you?
Alf.
Oh, shit, I see it.
Yeah, exactly.
And with that laugh you just gave, you like, I envisioned
Alf. I don't know who would play me.
Alf.
Everybody wants to go to like that rock star, you know, star out there.
I'm clearly Matt Damon.
See, and I would disagree with you, but that's okay, fine.
Brad Pitt.
I'm thinking more like Randy Quaid.
Jesus.
Alf is looking pretty good about now, isn't he?
Alf's looking sharp. Randy Quaid, dude.
No, I'll be honest with you. I mean, all the actors out there, every time I seem to start liking one, get a little respect, they do something really stupid.
They something.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, it's my God.
I wish you just kidding me? Stayed in your
swim I'll never out. Watch another one of your films.
I'm like that, too. I will drop you.
In a heartbeat.
Oh, why am I so critical of my beliefs and my, you know, if you're not, if you don't believe like me, you're out.
No, is that a fault? No, it's about common sense. The stuff that comes out of their mouth, I'm like, that's not even rational. And I'm like, I can't believe you're a multimillionaire and you just spewed that out of your mouth. Are you kidding me?
Maybe I'm too critical of people.
I'm not critical. I mean, it's about common sense. And literally, the actors and actresses, I mean, they look, again, they're only acting on film, but in real life, I guess they're true to who they are. And they just say some of the dumbest stuff. And I'm like, or do, not just say, but actually do some of the dumbest. Like, really? And I paid $100 to take the family to the movie to watch you? That ain't happening again.
Well, they're not rocket scientists. They're just actors.
And I think probably 50% or more dropped out of high school to become actors.
Well, I think probably what ends up shocking us the most is you see truly really good actors. You've seen them in these movie roles for decades. And based on the roles that they have played, you have, you have a thought of what kind of person that is, and when you see them saying something or getting political or talking on the red carpet or something, and or meeting them in person, you're not meeting those characters that you're meeting the person, and you're like, wow, that guy's a weirdo.
Or an ass.
You have to realize an actor is a professional liar.
Yeah.
That's their job. That's their job is to entertain and pretend that they are someone else.
And again, not all of them because and I will say this because the people some of the I do have respect for, they haven't really said anything to turn me off to watch anything. It's like Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he went through a lot of drug addictions, alcohol addiction. He owned it. He got clean and been sober and does a lot of great stuff for charities and hospitals.
It was very public, too.
It was very public. He owned it, you know. Yeah. I mean, Charlie Sheen, you know, that guy owns everything. I mean, you might not agree with what he's done, but he owns it. You know, I give the guy kudos for that. You know, he owns every screw up he's done.
I don't think Charlie Sheen's ever said, that wasn't me.
No, I did that. And, you know,
I did that twice.
Exactly. Yeah, the first time I was hot, the second time I was sober.
Winning.
But exactly. But I mean, those are the ones, okay, they had issues. They've owned them and tried to work through it. Charlie Sheen, not so much, but Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Definitely worked through it. You know, it's the ones who are
he's a definite success story.
Yeah, he is. Exactly. It's the ones who are hypocrites, like, oh, I'd never do anything like that. And at the end of the day, they are that, you know? And it's like, you just don't want anybody to know it. You're just hiding secrets, you know? Where, again, there's a couple out there that I've got a little respect for. They own it, whether in right or indifferent, you know? But, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. But they own it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm good with that. It's the ones who don't own it. Oh, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
Dude, it's all over TMZ and everything. You did it, you asshole.
I just see a lot of people get disappointed after they meeting their favorite actors. You know, either the guy's a weirdo or this. It's because, you know, you think you've come to know him. one of his characters.
Well, you know, and it's like Reese Witherspoon. She got pulled over for DUI.
Yeah.
She was drunk, and she told the cops, you know who I am? And she actually came out later and said, that was embarrassing, and I own it. That was me, but that wasn't me. And it's, you know, those are the ones I got a little respect for. It's the ones, I don't know, that wasn't me. I don't know who that was. I don't know who the hell that was.
The default is to try to use your get out jail free card.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
have any idea who I am?
Don't you?
Exactly. Know? And she admits, I was trashed, and that was me. And, you know, but again, it's the other one's like, I don't want to talk about it or whatever. It's like, you know what? It's already on film. Somebody caught it on a camera. I mean, own it and move on. I have a little more respect for you.
One of the worst ones.
You got
Randy, the country singer. He was filmed.
Oh, Randy Travis.
Randy Travis.
He's on a lawnmower to you. I go down the road.
Yeah, that. But the dash cam is on him the whole time. The officer's letting him ride in the front seat on the way to the jailhouse or whatever. He doesn't have a shirt on. He's absolutely hammered.
Hammered.
And, God, I think he threatens to kill the cop. And I mean, it's just. Ooh, that one. That's a bad one.
Was it a recent one? The country star can't. The name slips on my mind. Threw a chair off the roof of the bar in Nashville.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the younger.
Yeah. And it's like, that was me. I mean, he owned it. You know,
Waylon? Something?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't want to put that name out there because I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean,
one of the younger country folk.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like, you know what? They do the stupid stuff, own it, you know. But there's a lot of them that just, either I don't want to talk about it or that wasn't me. Really? Got 5 different cell phones filming and that was you.
It was you.
It was you. It's like, sorry.
And if you don't think it was you, you better talk to that alter ego when next time it steps into your soul.
Exactly. You need to lay off the
like that funny commercial that lady's laying. She's in her psychiatrist and she's laying on the couch and she says, I don't think these sessions are working. And she's like, and which Susan am I talking to? She's like, what?
Not sure. Yeah. I'll let you know when the checkbook comes out.
Yeah. It's funny. not many commercials are funny anymore. That one gets me.
Anyway. So, again. I don't care if you're a baby boomer or millennial or Gen Z, X, Y, AAA. I don't know. Just own it, man. You screw up, just own it. You know?
Take responsibility. Ownership.
And don't get offended by every little thing. Oh, my God. That's the problem with this country today. Or actually, the world. Right. Everybody's offended. And it's like, really? You know?
And if you knew me when I was growing up or you was going, you're laughing at these words that are coming out of my mouth. Billy Skipper saying that. Yes, I know, but you learn from your old age and you get wise. And the best thing to do is own up to your mistakes. Be the first ones to admit it and try not to hide it.
And to all those out there, bourbon makes you wiser.
Yep. It comes out. It comes out in the end. So what do you think about St. Augustine Distillery's Florida straight bourbon there, Mr. Jimmy?
You know, I really like it. I really, really do. Again, we've had it in the past. We've been through the distillery. They haven't sponsored us yet, St. Augustine. Hashtag St. Augustine Distillery. But I like it. It's really good flavor. The tour of the distillery is amazing. I mean, they let you sample a lot of stuff in there. I mean, it's probably the only place I know that you walk out hammered.
Yeah. Some people even crash on the way there.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Stone cold sober.
Oh, you know, that was 2 bikes ago for me and 3 for you.
I wasn't saying I was involved. I just said that, you know, things happen and possibly you could have a bump and run on the way into the parking lot.
No, not a bump and run.
Yeah, that's what we'll call that, a bump and run. Always communicate with your partner when you're about to make a left-hand turn, a right-hand turn on a motorcycle. Anyway.
Didn't I just pick up that bike?
I had that bike for, what, 5 minutes?
I think I had mine for 5 minutes.
Oh, you had yours for five minutes. I had mine for a week.
Yes.
Yeah, they were two brand-new bikes. Anyway, that I don't think the wives and know
we were,
about that.
No, and we were sober at that time.
Oh, yeah. We were stone cold sober.
Yeah. Rode home a little different.
And heartbroken and
shocked. And anyway, so, all right. Well, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Hey, you know what? Really enjoyed it. It's got great flavor. Again, it's less than 100 proof, less than 90 proof, but it's really a good bourbon. I really like it. I will buy it every time. I'm giving it a 7.
Nice. Jimmy gave it a 7. I'm going to give St. Augustine a pretty damn fair number. It's super smooth. It's got this aroma that is not a Kentucky bourbon. You could blind taste this thing and get it every
time. You'll pick
it every time.
You'll pick
it every time. It's not offensive. It's just something odd, and I can't place what it is. Since it's Florida, I got to say it's like maybe a citrus or an orange or something, but it's...
It's that sunshine, man. It's that sunshine state.
Man,
coming
it
out.
Might have a hint of cinnamon or something. I don't know. And it's not so much to where it's a flavored bourbon. It's not. It's just, you know. Anyway, St. Augustine Distillery, great job. I'm giving you an 8.
Look at that. And that comes to?
That comes to an average of 7.5. Nailed it. Good
Look
job, St. Augustine Distillery.
I knew it was going to get a high score because it's always a go-to.
Really good, man. So we got, they make rum, they make vodka.
Yep.
The girls, we got a bottle of rum. We got a bottle of vodka. The girls really liked the vodka. The vodka was good.
And they got that old fashioned mix that you can pour into the bourbon that it's
really,
really
good. These mixes too. Yeah. Anyway, if you're down in the ancient city, St. Augustine, I still think Fernandina is an oldest city and I'll fight you behind the dumpster. Anyway. The oldest city in America, stop by St. Augustine Distillery. Tell them it's the Bourbon Talking Boys sent you.
Yes.
And get a bottle and try
and
it out, man.
You know what? And tell them it was on the house. I don't think they'll give it to you, but hey, you know, you can always try something new.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll get some attention out of it.
Yeah. Say, I came in to pick up my free bottle of bourbon from It's the Bourbon Talking Podcast here at St. Augustine, and yeah, see what happens.
Yes, it happens.
We'll see you guys
Good
next
luck
week.
With that. We're out here.
Out here.